Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How are you now? How are you this morning? I assume. I sincerely doubt anybody's listening to this one right after the game. It was a late one. Hello and welcome, folks, to episode 69. Nice. Of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake and I'm 5 years old. We're here to talk about your Montreal Canadiens continuing their Western road trip, this time on the road in Vancouver, British Columbia, which means that the game started for me in the Atlantic time zone at 11 p.m. And for most of you in probably the Eastern time zone, it started at 10 p.m. Either way, pretty rough one, especially if you're, you know, a grown man or woman with children. Not a time that you want a game to start if you're planning on watching the entire thing, because, you know, you're going to be up pretty late, and anybody who's got kids knows, you know, the next day is going to be pretty rough, even if you don't have kids. Not fun if you have a job. I mean, tomorrow's Friday, or today's Friday. Again, most of you are probably listening to this on Friday. My ass stayed up all night for the game so that I could record this afterwards. So, we're going to get into it. Obviously, Vancouver, a top team in the Western Conference, so probably a very tough out for the Montreal Canadiens. But as I've said many, many times recently, they've been playing some of the top teams in both conferences, honestly, to pretty tight games of late. So maybe, you know, might have something there, but we're going to take you through the recap, everything that happened. But first, as you may be aware, the tournament is here. I'm talking about March Madness, of course, folks, and BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Now, your Montreal Canadiens, again, their game started very late, and it also started without one of my favorite players much on this podcast and have been following ever since he got drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. I'm talking, of course, about Le Sniper Beauceron, Joshua Roy. It was announced before the game he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, I believe. Looks like he had blocked a shot in the previous game and with his hand, and he got sent back to Montreal for evaluation, and I guess they took a look at it and maybe there's a fracture. I don't know. They didn't say exactly what it was. They said upper body. We all know it's his hand. He was seen actually in the airport. Somebody tweeted out they saw him in the airport and talked to him, and yeah, he had a splint on his hand. So that kneecaps the second line that's been one of the best lines for the Montreal Canadiens right before they go into a game against one of the top teams in the Western Conference. So how's that going to look? Honestly, early on, it's the Habs that are pressing. Go figure. Canucks look like a bit of a mess in their own zone early on, but it's hockey. None of that matters. The Habs can't do anything with that mess in the Canucks zone early, and Nick Suzuki gets called for a questionable trip on Elias Pettersson. Keep that in mind. That's going to become a theme in this game. And then they have a bad change, and they get called for too many men. So now they got a 5-on-3 that they got to kill. Surely the opener is going to be coming here, but maybe not. They kill the 5-on-3, and they kill the other one too. They actually managed to get out of that with nothing. And then Gallagher nearly actually scores a goal. coming out of the box, serving the too many men penalty. So really a great start for the Habs. Like, they're looking like the better team. They managed to kill off a 5-on-3, but not long after they kill the 5-on-3. Nikita Zadorov gets a point shot. There's just way too much traffic out in front. Semyon Montembeau cannot see that shot to save his life, and it makes its way through everybody and in. 1-0 for the Canucks. Later on, Caden Gooley gets called for a very questionable interference penalty, okay? He's, you know, he's got his stick on JT Miller's back, and he kind of pushes him, but he's pushing him towards his goaltender, which is also just not smart in general, but barely pushes him. It really shouldn't have been an interference penalty. And the reason that I bring that up is because after the Habs killed that off, they did actually manage to kill it off, but Gooley gets elbowed in the face by, what's his face? I forget his name. He gets elbowed directly in the face in front of a ref. They come together and they decide, oh, there's nothing to call. We didn't see anything. The puck was right there and he gets elbowed in the face and they don't call it. And immediately after the non-call on Gooley, Nikita Zadorov jumps into the rush and gets his second of the game. Makes it 2-0 for the Canucks. That's your score at the end of one period. We have soft calls going against the Montreal Canadiens and nothing getting called against the Vancouver Canucks. I don't even want to be awake for this game at this point. I get to the end of the first period. I'm like, man, I feel like I would rather just go to bed, but I'm going to stick this one out. And at least in the second period, they do start calling some penalties against Vancouver. Some penalties, not all of them, right? Habs actually get two opportunities with the man advantage before the midway point, and they fucking fail on both of them. Neither of those power plays looked very threatening at all. Casey DeSmith was good when he was tested, but they just really, they were not doing enough. And I know the refs have been bad, but you got to get something on those chances if you're the Habs, right? You can't just sit there and say, well, we should have had more chances. Well, you should do something with the chances that you get. This is not necessarily a problem they need to solve right now, right? I mean, they're a lottery team right now, so losses actually help their case, but it is something that they got to solve moving into next year if they want to be more competitive. Is, you know, when those chances come up, you got to bury them because that's what good teams do. And then, of course, as I'm trying to convince myself, and I'm writing it in my notes for the game that, like, hey, listen, you got to cash in on those chances regardless of what the refs are doing. Caden Gooley gets high-sticked under the fucking chin by, who was it? Hoglander. And they don't call that one. I mean, again, the puck is right there and they don't call it. I'm losing my mind at this point. There's a scrum afterwards that somehow gets the Habs a penalty out of that. So they do get their third power play attempt. And that power play actually looked very good. They got absolutely robbed a couple of times by Casey DeSmith. Cole Caulfield rang one off the post. They came very close to scoring there. And of course, not scoring ends up hurting them. We get all the way down to the final 2 minutes. Connor Garland gets in on a partial break after a bad breakout pass by Arbor Jacki. And he just snaps it far side on Semyon Montembeau, 3-0. But hang on a second. In the final minute of the second period, Habs are in the offensive zone. Cole Caulfield circling up near the blue line, fires a shot from distance. He's already rang one off the post, like I said, during the power play. But this time, it gets tipped in front by Juraj Slafkovský with a very, very good hand-eye coordination on him. And he puts that one through. No post on that one. It's in. The Habs have a little bit of life. They break Casey DeSmith's shutout. The score is 3-1. And that is the score at the end of the second period. Can they do something in the third with this game? Well, not exactly. They go back and forth a little bit for the first half of the third period. The Habs just not really able to impose very much of their game in the offensive zone. And even when they can, Casey DeSmith really not giving him a whole heck of a lot to shoot at. The Habs struggling just to get pucks on net. And even when they do, again, you know, I had Caulfield hit a post. You had plenty of really nice saves by Casey DeSmith. It was not an easy game for them offensively whatsoever, even though in the early goings of the game, the Canucks looked like a real mess in their own zone. And then we get down to about 7 minutes and change to go. We get an offensive zone draw for the Canucks. Tyler Myers gets it, gets a shot, tipped on the way by Nils Åman. Who the fuck is that guy? And it's 4-1 for the Vancouver Canucks. From there, the Habs just looked like they just wanted to get out of that game. They were kind of playing for time more than anything. And time went by pretty quickly. That final 7 minutes, I will give them that. Not a whole lot of whistles. And they managed to get us out of there with the game ending at about 1:30 in the morning for me. About 12:30 for most of the people in the Eastern time zone. And for all the Habs fans out west, you guys probably enjoyed that one. It happened to, at least it started for you at the end of your workday, not towards the end of your workday. 4-1 is the final for the Vancouver Canucks. The Habs lose again on this infernal Western road swing. I'm already starting to trip over my own words. That's how late it is right now. I want to go to bed. But before we do, we got to talk a little bit more about that game, right? And first, we got to go with a silver lining of the night. And I can't think of a better silver lining than Juraj Slafkovský. And it feels like he's been the silver lining in a lot of games this season. But that's for good reason, right? I don't feel like I've been overhyping him or picking him in games where he doesn't deserve it. Matter of fact, I took a look because I was pretty sure that he was on a point streak coming into this game. Right? And in fact, he is. He's had a point in every game of this Western road swing so far, and his point streak goes all the way back to that game on March 9th against Toronto. So in that period of time, he's had what? He had 2 points against Toronto, and then he's had 1 point in every game since. I think. I got to double check that. Yes, he has. So he's had 7 points in his last 6 games, and this all dates back to March 9th. And look, it's been a huge season for him. I think that's no secret. I think a lot of the, you know, fans of other teams in particular love to try and troll on Twitter and send out some ridiculous bullshit comparing him to players that were drafted in the 6th round or whatever. I think the one thing that's been going around on Twitter a lot that has Habs fans excited is the comparisons between Slafkovský and Mikko Rantanen, because they've had, as far as point production is concerned, they've had very similar curves to their careers in the early goings. And I think that's what a lot of people are hoping, is that he can develop himself into a Rantanen-type player. And I think we're seeing that. You know, it's his ability to get to the front of the net, like he did against the Canucks there, right? They could not get shit going against the Canucks. Other than in the early goings, I said this a few times already, they looked like a bit of a mess in their own zone, but they really ratcheted it down after that, and they started playing some good defensive hockey. And Casey DeSmith, like I said, was not giving them shit to shoot at. And you saw it with Caulfield, right? Like, he put the most perfect shot that he possibly could and still rang it off the bar. And then when Caulfield gets another opportunity, you know, Slafkovský just parks his ass right in front of the net, really good hand-eye coordination, and manages to put that in. We're seeing, you know, him really, I've brought it up a few times before, playing like he figured out all of a sudden that he's 6'4" and 230 pounds, 240 pounds, I think, actually, at this point. He's a big boy, and he's finally starting to use that size. You could argue there's been some games where maybe you'd like to see him use it a little bit more, but I think overall, he's really blossoming into that power forward that they hoped that they were getting with the first overall pick. And it's been really nice to see. Him having a point in every game on this Western road swing is worth more than any win possibly could be. And we know the team is kind of chasing losses at this point, but we also know that they are trying to win, right? The players themselves can't go out there and not try. And I think the effort level that we're seeing, particularly from Slafkovský, he's treating this year like a legitimate development year. And it's just fantastic to see. It's excellent news for the rebuild. They're going to be much better for how much better he's looking this season. They're going to be a lot better next season, especially if he's going to continue this trend and he's going to get better and better like this. They're in for a much more fun to watch season next year, I think. They could be kissing playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the division or anything like that, but they could be kissing playoffs. Come this time next year, we might be looking at them in a race for a wild card spot. Maybe they'll be in a wild card spot. I don't know. I can't predict the future. So I have predicted the future before, but you know, sometimes you get lucky, and I don't really know what the future holds for them next season. But I think, based on what I'm seeing so far, I think it's going to be a lot better, and I think Slafkovský is going to be a huge part of that. Aside from Slafkovský, man, it's hard. It's kind of hard in that game to pick anybody that really stood out. I thought Nick Suzuki played pretty well. He was setting up some really nice plays in that game that just didn't pan out. He was moving the puck really well in the power play, which was nice to see. Obviously, the power play in and of itself was a bit problematic because, you know, if they were able to actually cash in on some of those opportunities, this might have been a different game for them, right? But I felt like his puck movement in general, he was making smart plays with the puck, and he was making accurate, hard, crisp passes, tape to tape, the kind of thing that you're used to seeing with Slafkovský, with Nick Suzuki this season. He's been playing very well, so Yeah, enjoyed his game as well. Cole Caulfield, poor guy, just has no puck luck. He played another really good game. Just couldn't figure out a way to actually put one in the net. Outside of that, man, it's tough. I guess I got to bring up Caden Gooley and do a slight ref rant here because by the end of the game, the penalties were evened out, right? The second period, they started calling things against Vancouver. But if you actually called a fair game, like if you said, all right, we're going to call all of the penalties, Vancouver would have been shorthanded far more often than Montreal because they were just committing more infractions. And really, something that I've brought up before, and I don't want to pretend like I'm the guy that came up with this idea. Plenty of people have suggested this before, and the NHL will never do it. But those two infractions that they didn't call against Caden Gooley are the perfect examples of why the refs need to have some kind of a fucking press conference where they have to answer for calls like that. Because I would love to see just the don't give me the linesman. Just give me the two guys that were actually wearing the bands in that game. Get him into a room, show him the videos of those two plays. The one where he got elbowed in the face and then the one where he got high stick by Hoglander. Because both of those happened on the puck. The puck is right there. It's on top of the puck. So you have to be looking in that direction as an official. And they don't call it. So I want to see those two videos. I want them to explain to me, why aren't those calls? Tell me what you saw that made you believe that they weren't calls. And if you tell me you didn't see it, then you should be fired on the fucking spot. Because you're wearing the bands in that game. You should be looking where the play is, right? Where were you looking? Like when he gets high stick by Hoglander, it's in the corner. The puck is literally behind them. It's on neither of their sticks. It's going past them as Hoglander high sticks him in the chin. Like just an absolutely absurd non-call. I want to hear an explanation for that. I don't think it's possible for them to give one. Because I think if you show them that video afterwards, I think anybody who has ever reffed at any level, if you show them that video, they go, yeah, of course that's a penalty. Right, so you can't defend it. And that, I think, is probably why they will never put their officials in front of a microphone and have reporters ask them questions because they don't want to open themselves up to that. Because the reality is, I do believe that the officials are instructing them to ref in a certain way to try and even penalties up or to try and call more penalties in certain situations to get for... Because we know that the league wants to try and encourage more scoring. They've modified rules of the game to try and encourage more scoring. And it has worked for them so far. And I do believe that they're doing the precise same thing with their officiating. So until and unless we get these dummies in front of a microphone and have reporters ask them questions, we're never really going to get explanations for things like that. And as fans, we got to sit here and watch shit like that. The elbow, the high stick, go uncalled, and we got no explanation. Why weren't you looking? Were you looking? What did you see if you were looking? And how the fuck can you tell me that a stick under the chin shoved up is not a penalty? I don't know. Pretty brutal. But at the end of the day, I do want to close on this, right? And I mentioned it during the recap. As much as I think the refs were terrible in that game, the Habs still did get opportunities. And you have to be able to close those out. So I also mentioned during the recap, it's not very important for them to figure that out now, but they got to start. Because like I said, I think this team is bound for better things next season. I think they could be in a playoff race. Probably for a wild card spot, but they could be potentially a playoff team next year. And if that's the case, you got to be able to cash in on those opportunities. The power play has been too inconsistent this season. And it sounds weird for me to complain about it because I know that this year so far has been the best power play that we've seen in like 6 years. So it is getting better, but I want to see more consistency out of them. Right, getting one power play goal in that game would have been nice because at least it would have said, all right, well, you've shown here that you can capitalize on an opportunity, but it wouldn't have won them the game. So it would have had no impact against the tank, but it would have at least kind of shown that you've figured out how to get a goal at an opportune moment when the refs give you that chance. So I just think it's something they need to work on. The good news is I do think that they are working on it. So I'm not necessarily putting that out there as a negative from that game. It's just it's an indicator that you got to keep working on the things that you're working on. Keep Dr. Schott working with these guys as well. Maybe get them to spend a fucking lot of time with Josh Anderson and see if you can't, you know, figure out a way to capitalize on more of those opportunities because it's going to be important. It's going to be really important. Outside of that, I don't have much else to say about that game. Honestly, I'm dead tired and I need to go to bed. So apologies if this is a bit of a shorter episode. And apologies if you don't like the ref rant. I mean, I know some people don't enjoy necessarily hearing me complain about the officials, but there was no choice in that game. Anybody who couldn't stay up to watch that game because you were in the Eastern or Atlantic or Newfoundland or anything like that, and it was just too late for you, you missed a good one if you get upset by poor officiating. It was definitely a good one for you to sit out, because that was next level. It was pretty bad. So we're going to cut it off there. Still, even with me shortening it up, we're still running almost 20 minutes. So, hey, c'est une grosse soirée pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.